Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to this Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray that Thy Spirit might be with us, that He might manifest Himself in our midst, that during the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. That above all, it would be to Thy praise and glory, and then to the good and edification of Thy people. We thank Thee for the church here, for the opportunity to be a part of it, and we pray that Thy blessings will be with us in all that we do. And especially, we're mindful that later this month we have a meeting, and pray that Thy Spirit might be with us in all of that. Now, bless, we pray, those who've asked an interest in prayer, and forgive us of our sins. We humbly ask in the name of Jesus, and this we ask in His name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verses 25 through 32. Again, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verses 25 through 32. And these verses read, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this and other passages of Scripture related to this one. Now, if you'll notice the expression, this particular passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 25, begins with the expression, "and behold." And the word "behold," among other things, means this: pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Everything in the Word of God is important. Whether we see it or not, God inspired someone to put it there. Therefore, for one particular reason, though we may never know why, and that's not important, but the fact is, everything in the Word of God is important because of what it is. It's the Word of God. And there are expressions like this, which says, "and behold," that is, pay a special attention to this. Alright, now the overall events in this passage of Scripture. Simeon was a just and devout man. He waited for the consolation of Israel. Now the word consolation is translated from a Greek word which means to call near, to call near. And the idea there that God was coming down to man. In the Old Testament period of time, God was distant to the great majority of the people. There were some, such as Moses, David, and others that could be named, but God was close and near to them. But to the great majority of people during the Old Testament times, God was distant to the people. And one of the things I remember from time to time as I think about that is when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and it said that Moses spoke to the Lord as if a man speaks to his friend face to face. Now I understand that means there that Jesus appeared to Moses as a man, and they spoke one to another face to face as Jesus gave Moses the law. Now in that particular time, and there are a number of expressions in the Scriptures where Jesus, before he was born into this world, came down and appeared unto men in human form. And that's one of those times. But now, God is coming down to man. It's not just a few people, but God's people, the Lord rather is drawing close to all of His people, beginning with the Jews, as we find in this passage of Scripture, and then finally coming also to His people among the Gentiles. So God was coming down to man. Alright, the Holy Ghost was with Simeon and made a revelation to him, revealed something to him, and that is, he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, that's Jesus, as you surely know. But Simeon, and then Simeon was led by the Spirit into the temple. Now, let me say this. He said the Holy Ghost, now he was led by the Spirit. Well, the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are two different names of what we call the third person in the Godhead. Because ghost and spirit are both translated from the very same Greek word. So Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are synonymous one with the other. Alright? The Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. That is, the Spirit led him to the temple on that particular day. Whether he did other days or not, I don't know. Whether that was the only day or not, I don't know. But the fact is, he led Simeon to the temple on that particular day, and the Spirit revealed to Simeon which child was the Lord's Christ. Now, the Scriptures don't say that there were other children there, but it seems to, it just makes sense to think there probably were other children there to be known to them what was the custom of the law at that particular time and that particular day of their lives. And so, but the Holy Ghost blessed Simeon to realize that this particular child, that Jesus, was the Lord's Christ. Then Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he praised God for blessing him to see Jesus and was ready to die. Now, Simeon again saw the Lord and was ready to die. He was a man devoted to the Lord. And that's what the word devout in this passage of Scripture means. He was devoted to the Lord. And he saw Jesus, was ready to die. Nothing else meant something to Simeon. When I began to think about this verse of Scripture, I thought about the fact that Simeon said, "Lord, now let us bow thy servant, die in peace." To paraphrase that anyway. The idea was that Simeon was ready to die. And anything else, after he'd seen Jesus, even as a young babe, anything else in the life of Simeon would pale in comparison to see Jesus Christ, the Lord's salvation. Now, Simeon saw the Lord's salvation prepared before the face of all people, Jews and Gentiles. Jesus, but would be then and is now a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, let me say one thing about light. Light shows direction. Jesus is the light. He is the direction, but another thing about light is it shows the direction in some. I remember years ago, Catherine hadn't been married long, and before I was ordained, and that's almost 48 years. But nevertheless, I remember I got a call that there was a cow down having a calf, having trouble having a calf, and we need to go out there. It was already dark. Now, I'll tell you how dark it was. I remembered everything we needed to take except, you probably figured it out, a flashlight. All right. And so I had to go out of the woods in a certain way, and I won't get into that. But while I was going through the woods, it was so dark, I was going through there like this, my hands and arms in front of my face. That's how dark it was. And I won't go any further than that. But nevertheless, but a light would show me the direction. That the light would say, between these two trees, that a lot of vines, go around this way or that way. The idea of the light would just simply show the direction. And that's what Jesus was. He showed the direction to the Gentiles. Now, and Jesus is also the glory of Israel. Now, think about this. Jesus appeared a number of times and manifested the glory of God to the people. Jesus is the glory that Moses saw on Mount Sinai. Now, when I said that Moses spoke to Jesus face to face, you may remember this, but there's a difference there. Moses spoke to Jesus as a man. He appeared as a common man, as we are, the Son of God. But later on, Moses asked him, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And then Jesus told him, "No one can see my face and live. That is my glorified face and live." And so he put his hand over Moses, and Moses saw his hinder parts. But Jesus was that glory that Moses saw. Jesus is the glory that filled the tabernacle and the temple when they were dedicated in the service of the Lord. And Jesus showed that glory on the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John, that's in Matthew chapter 17, I believe it is, they saw Jesus. That light began to shine from his face and through his clothing. And so Jesus is that glory. And listen, look at John chapter 1 and verse 14. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, it begins by saying that, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the glory of God today. That is, Jesus is the glory of God because he came down to redeem us from our sins and redeemed us from our sins. And he's coming once again to glorify us as he is glorified. And in that glorified state, we will always be with Jesus in heaven's pure world. Now, here's the question. Are we like Simeon? That's a good thing. Now, remember, the verse of Scripture, or the passage of Scripture, began with the expression, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." And so here's the question for us. We're to behold this. We're to pay attention to this. We're to study this. So the question is, are we like Simeon? Are we ready to die because we've seen Jesus? That is the idea that everything else pales in comparison to seeing the fact that we have seen Jesus, all right? We have not seen Jesus with our natural eyes as Simeon did, and as the apostle did, and others did. As others who live from humanity, that is, from the shepherds that saw him as the babe in Bethlehem, and so the apostles when they saw him ascend back unto the Father. No, we have not seen Jesus in that way. But we have seen Jesus with our spiritual eyes. And we have seen Jesus by faith. That is, we can see that Jesus, the Son of God, was born and laid in a manger in Bethlehem. We can see that with the eyes of faith. We can see that Jesus fed multitudes. We can see that Jesus healed various diseases when, by the way, there was no such thing as a cure until a number of centuries later than that. We can see Jesus going to the cross of Calvary. And by faith we can see that Jesus redeemed us from our sins. Each one of us can say, "Jesus, by faith, redeemed me from my sins." Each one of us can say by faith that Jesus is coming again to raise me up and glorify me. And I'll be in that glorified state forever with him. Each one of us can say that by faith. And by faith we have seen Jesus as our salvation. That's the key. That's the key. That's the most important part of it. By faith, we see Jesus is our salvation. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And by faith, we say we're one of them. Jesus has saved me from my sins. And then ultimately, he's going to save me from every effect of sin in the resurrection. All right? But we don't need to know the details. And I mean by that, it's just a good starting point to know. Jesus has saved me from my sins. We can know that. And we can rejoice in that. We are greatly blessed. Later on, we can begin to know about election and predestination, all those deep things of the Word of God. We can know that. But just for starters, we can say that Jesus has saved me by his amazing grace. All right? We don't know how long Simeon lived after he saw Jesus. We don't know. And this is the only time His name is written in the Scriptures. Now, there are others, and the tribe of Israel has the same name, the name Simeon. There's one time that I looked in the Scriptures and I thought, well, maybe that's referring back to him, but a commentator said, no, that's Simon. That is Simon Peter. Simon and Simeon are the same name. Simon may refer to maybe a Greek version of it, and Simeon obviously could be the Hebrew version of it, because a tribe is named, one of the 12 tribes of Israel is the tribe of Simeon. But it seems like that's the only time, this is the only time we have any kind of reference of Simeon in the Scripture. So we don't know how long he lived, all right? But we cannot die a physical death just because we've seen Jesus. But let me tell you this. Death means separation. That's one thing we need to remember. Physical death is a separation from loved ones. Most of us, the great majority of us, have experienced that in our lifetime. So that's a separation from our loved ones. Well, listen, death means separation. Death means separation. We can separate ourselves from the unnecessary things of this world. That is, whatever may hinder us from serving the Lord, we can separate ourselves from that. Now, I know that there are things that we have to do that are not necessarily praising the Lord, but yet, at the same time, we can make Jesus more important in our lives than all else here in this world. And I think that's what Simeon was saying. We said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The idea there was that seeing Jesus was the most important thing in the life of Simeon. And seeing Jesus with our eyes of faith and serving Jesus and praising Jesus should be the most important thing in our lives. Every waking moment, as much as we can, we ought to spend our lives in praising the Lord. And all that we do, serving the Lord may have nothing to do with it, for as our regular jobs and so forth, yet they can be done in such a way that would honor and glorify the Lord. We ought to have our jobs, do our jobs, whatever they may be, as if digging something around the house or working in a factory or whatever else we may do, we ought to do that as well as we could, because we're thankful that the Lord has blessed us with those jobs to take care of our needs, the needs of our families. We ought to do that in such a way that we would glorify the Lord in all that we do. And so we need to remember that Jesus should be the most important thing in our lives. And listen, brothers and sisters, our lives will be blessed when we do. Turn way over in the Old Testament, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles. So what is he going to read from 2 Chronicles that relates to this? Well, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. It's one of the latter chapters of 2 Chronicles. And I want to read the last two verses. 2 Chronicles 31 and verses 20 and 21. And these verses read, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Yeah, that connects there. The idea that this man Hezekiah, his daddy was one of those wicked kings. And he did everything to destroy, I suppose you might say, maybe that's a good word, the service of God. He polluted the temple. That is, brought other things for the worship of other God in the temple. He destroyed some of the things that were in the temple and used it for other purposes. And there were places for idol worship set up over all the nation of Judah. He did that. But then Hezekiah came in to sought the Lord, and just a very few months he set up the temple so that it served the Lord. They could do the meat offerings there, the drink offerings there, the peace offerings there, and all those other things to be done in the service of the Lord. He did that, and that was done although there was a lot to do, he had to do that, and did that in a relative few months. Now, I can't remember just exactly how many months. But the idea that he strived to serve the Lord, then the idea was that he was blessed to prosper. He prospered spiritually and he prospered materially also because he strived to serve the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this, if we strive to serve the Lord will bless those efforts. He will do that. He won't do for Hezekiah what he won't do for any of us or any of the rest of his servants. He just doesn't do it that way. If he'll bless one, he'll bless the other. When we're faithful unto the Lord. But also we'll have those things we need in the material world. Now, we never promise that we'll be rich. I've been blessed to know some people that are rather wealthy that serve the Lord. That's fine. I'm thankful that the Lord has that. We've never been that way. We won't ever be that way. But I tend to think that the Lord will bless us with those things we need, whatever those things may be. He blesses those who serve Him. The Lord, if we take care of Him, we say, well, I just can't do that because of whatever. If I do this, I'll do without that. Listen, the Lord will take care of us. I remember in the movie Sound of Music, Maria had just gone to the house where to be a governess of the captain's children. And there was a thunderstorm. She was in her bed, and all the children came there because they were scared of the thunder. And I remember she said this in that context. She said, the lady that was head of the nunnery, and she said, Reverend Mother always said, when the Lord opens the door, He always opens the window. Now, the idea there is, listen, when the Lord keeps us from doing one thing, He has something better for us. We need to always remember that. We need to always remember that. The Lord always has something good for us. Not only does He have something good for us, but He has something better for us than the things of this world. Not only that, but He has the best things for us here in this world. That is the things of Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us all to seek Jesus with all that we have and all we do. The Lord help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.